This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast. Hello, my name is Luke. I always worry my intros are too sultry right from the start. Do you know what I mean? I never know if I'm doing the intro right.
They're never too sultry.
Yeah. Are you can't sure? Because that has been thrown at me numerous times in my life. Anyway, my name is Luke. This is a Touchline Rant. We are back again. We've been less consistent this season. Our consistency, we're in and out. We're being basically substituted in and out, ATR.
Yeah.
We can't get a run of games going. We've kept it up quite well, but every now and again we stutter and go, oh, we're not going to do one this week. Like you and I actually recorded last week.
Yeah.
Just not a podcast. We still did this. We just did it for just basically to hang out. Yeah.
Like an away day, like a training day or something.
We could have easily recorded last week, but we just went, no, I'm not up to it. We'll just talk shit for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Which is basically what we're now going to do, just condense it, the shit.
Yeah.
I'm joined this week by, he's 2 minutes in, I'm only introducing him, Mitchell Lewis-Gadd. Say hello.
Hello, I like that. I like the sort of, it's the kind of intro before the intro.
Yeah, the pre-intro.
It's a bit like the opening of a James Bond film. There, I'm doing stuff, I'm talking, I'm saying stuff, contributing, and then at some point, bang, intro, and I'm in.
And he's in.
And the name's there on the screen then.
Yeah, and it's like, bang, right, you're here. So that would make me then in this, and that, well, who would that make me? Would that make me your love interest?
Probably.
Because I'm not going to be like odd job or something. I'm not going to be like... like a bad guy. I'm not going to be one of the heavies, and I'm not going to be. Who was the one who stroked his cat all the time? What was his name?
Odd job. No, Goldfinger.
Odd job was the one who threw the app.
Yeah, that's it. Goldfinger. He stroked his cat.
Can you remember, men of our age? There was a reboot. There was a James Bond Jr. cartoon released.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. No,
I had the figures. They tried to do, James Bond for kids, and they did it as a cartoon show, and they had Jaws in it, and Oddjob in it, and everything. They're proper action figures.
Oh,
we are a football podcast, by the way. For anyone watching, this is how Mitchell and I end up talking shit for 2 hours, and then go, well, we can't record a football podcast now. the problem is all this preamble does take me away from where we're going to start this week's jaunt in the football fields. Because we're going to start with the Manchester United hangover caused by drinking too many Liverpool goals.
What a game.
That's one way of putting it. I watched it.
What was it like watching that as a fan?
I watched the whole game. I didn't stop. I thought, right, well, I'm in now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm invested. When it got to half time, I was like, well, I'm invested in this game now. I can't turn away. And I mean, it's been a weird one. Watching the game was bizarre because you just became numb to it, to be honest, after a while. It doesn't happen often that we get those results against us, but sometimes we do. And when they do, it impacts you a bit more. Like if you're a team lower down the leagues who is used to getting beat, like if you're Norwich even, if you're Norwich and you get beat 7-1 by Chelsea, your fans are like, yeah, and what are you on about? You know, legit. A lot of teams could do that to Norwich. when you're Man United, it stings differently because you're not expecting it. Do you know what I mean? It was interesting. But then, like I said to you, in that there genuinely was an edge taken off it, knowing that those Salah goals were going to get you fantasy football points when you needed them the absolute most. So it was, that did make me smile for, I was like, oh, he's going to wake up and be delighted.
Just for those not aware, I was trailing in the fantasy football head-to-head game that I was in this week in our league. And the only thing that would have saved me was probably maybe two goals from Salah might have been enough, but three. I needed at least two from Salah. And I did. And I got them. I was about 35 points down by the time the Liverpool Man United game kicked off with Trent and Salah in my team, and my opponent just had Robertson. So even then, he was kind of potentially cancelling out Trent if there was a clean sheet, but obviously Trent got an assist as well.
Yeah,
and then the points rolled in, and it was just like, oh, here we go, it's on.
I know, this is the thing, is that I went into that game from a fantasy football perspective completely. When I take myself out of it, you know, one day, Mitch, hopefully you'll be in the position where you can watch your team lose still be grateful for fantasy points, you know?
I don't know what I'm going to be like if Forest were in the Premier League with fans. I don't think, like, everyone piling in on teams playing them as well.
You would genuinely get to the point where I know you too well now at this point. I know that if Forest were in the Premier League and you were playing Chelsea right now this season and you were where Norwich are, if you were Norwich this weekend, you would have been saying exactly the same as you were saying to me about your fantasy football team. You'd be like, look, I am tripling up on Chelsea. Chelsea are going to batter us. I know you. You'd be getting, if Lukaku had been fit and our plans had gone, you and I wouldn't have captained Salah. We would have captained Lukaku. There's no doubt that we would have captained Lukaku. And that still could have been a really good decision. But we didn't, because he got injured. But if he didn't get injured and Norwich were Forest, you would be still going, I'm definitely captaining Lukaku.
Yeah, probably. You can't ignore the fantasy points.
It's difficult, you know. It's like, we clean, you know, you've got, let's jump to the actual football. From a football perspective, this game was, it's going to sound ridiculous, but it's an indictment of United. Liverpool weren't at their best that I've seen. No. Liverpool scarily had a good few more gears to go up if needed. United, it was one of the worst performances I have ever seen from the club. It was horrific. Like, they got beaten senseless by Liverpool. It wasn't even a fair matchup. There's the problem that we're now finding is that United, again, don't seem to have any idea how to play via the midfield. I don't buy into this thing of United need a world-class centre midfielder. We do need a world-class centre midfielder because it's our weakest position. But I think it goes deeper than that. I think that the team don't know how to play using a midfield and just bypass it completely. It's worrying because when you come up against a midfield which knows what it's doing and knows its job, they'll run the game. They'll just own the game.
What struck me about the performance from United was just the playing out from the back and just getting in, tying himself in knots. Like, constantly playing it short to Lindelof or Maguire or Shaw and getting pressed and, you know, losing the ball, misplacing a pass, you know, waiting for the ball to... Then they're trying to play it into Fred or McTominay from defence. You know, getting caught out, balls getting intercepted. And it was 2-0 and then they were still doing it and still making mistakes and balls were getting overhit straight into for throw-ins. And it's just inviting pressure.
Yeah.
And they ended up, like, some of the passes that were being made out of the goalkeeper, from the goalkeeper's defence, were like, you know, they were there were two defenders in their penalty box. So they had De Gea and two defenders, and they're trying to do short passes. And Liverpool, as the more they saw that, they were like, right, we can push further up. We can push further up. See how people like, you know, Naby Keita was, you know, probably had the most touches in the box that he's had for ages or whatever. He's piling forward.
He had a field day because, yeah, you're right. It's just United will not. They just play a certain way. If a team, usually when a team comes at United are good at attacking that. It just seems like something is different. I mean, I wonder if it's Ronaldo. Like, I wonder if it's because Ronaldo doesn't contribute to the press that United try and play. Perhaps that's proving difficult. Perhaps if we had, I mean, even Cavani, if Cavani was in there, who does contribute to the press from the top, maybe that would make a difference. I don't know. It's interesting.
It was worrying. I think it's just, you know, if you, it's worrying because this is the biggest game in world football. It's the most watched fixture.
Yeah.
And it just looked like the players, you know, if you put in that performance, I mean, if you get undone by quality, if it was pure quality that, you know, someone smashes one in the top corner from 25 yards and they go, you know what, you know, we're giving everything and we just got undone by quality, then fair enough. And to be honest, I think, you know, you could argue with Liverpool got the best player in probably in world football right now playing for them, in free flowing, free scoring form, playing really well. United have been stuttering lately. They had like 1 point from nine or whatever is going into the game. Mm. And you think, right, okay, one team's out of form, the other team's bang in form. And if that plays out and Liverpool score a couple of quality goals, then you just have to go fair play at the moment. You know, they're playing better football than us. But the fact was that to concede the goals they did, where they're giving the ball away, they're not coming to the ball when it's passed into feet, they're just Liverpool hungrier to every ball in a game that should be the one where, you know, the fans are going mad. You know, there's 80,000, 95% of those are from the red, Manchester, I say the red half, they're all both playing red, but from Manchester, you know, supporting Manchester. You should be able to be up for it at least. And it just looked like it just was such a dour performance. It was. And just to see that almost like Liverpool just ghosting in, and, you know, it wasn't even that they were carving United open, but, and it wasn't always taking pure quality. It was kind of nicking the ball off them. And just, you know, even the Salah goal, it was a great ball from Henderson and a lovely finish from Salah, but Pogba was giving it away, you know. So even when there's that little bit in the end to finish off as a bit of quality, it comes from a United mistake.
Yeah,
and it was just all over the shop. Like, for them to do that in that bigger game with the world watching, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's
mental. Do you want to know an interesting thing about that game as well?
Oh, yeah.
So, just as an aside, so I don't know if anyone saw this. So, Sky put out a tweet the night before the game saying that they're giving their predictions for the Super Sunday games, and they predicted Man United 1, Liverpool 5. Now, I was looking to avoid the score of the Liverpool Man United game the next day because I'm living in Australia. I was like, I'll watch the game. But I had an alert come up on my phone from Twitter, and I've got, like, it's one of those where I'm fairly active on Twitter as myself, but I've got another account which I manage on Twitter, probably less active. And if you're less active on Twitter, you get like more alerts from it because it's trying to get you to like log in and, like, you know, we're here stuff. So it came up with like something random, even though I didn't follow the account was coming from. It was a tweet from Sky saying Man United won Liverpool 5. I was like, oh shit, you know, I've got a chance. I think I was thinking five goals, Salah and fantasy team. I was thinking, oh, it could be on here. And then I watched the game, and then it realized after watching the game that I didn't see a spoiler for the score. No. I saw a prediction for the score. I was like, when are United going to score? So Ronaldo scores his goal, and I'm like, oh, that's the goal. That's 5-1. And then it's disallowed, which I don't know how that goal was disallowed, by the way, but it was disallowed, and it's 5-0. I was like, did they tweet that wrong? Went into the tweet, and it's a bloody prediction.
That's
right?
Mad.
I thought the game was spoiled for me, but it wasn't spoiled at all.
And Sky Sports.
Going, here we go.
That's mad.
Sky How mad Sports is that?
Inadvertently giving up spoilers without giving up spoilers.
I thought I was watching the game going, all right, okay, there's going to be a lot of goals here, lots of goals, my fantasy team. Imagine if they didn't play out like I thought and then Salah didn't score any goals. I've been livid, as livid as Kai Havertz not scoring or assisting any of 7 Chelsea goals.
Imagine if it was a 1-0 United win.
Yeah, Ronaldo, with I'd just Ronaldo my fantasy scoring. Team. Yeah. Oh, my God, I'd have been livid. But, yeah, so that was my mindset going into the game. I was like, okay, this could be on, you know. I was fairly, you know, I was a bit more interested in the FPL points. But do you know what? So anyway, let's talk about the manager then. You are in the Gary Neville, well, I'd say the Gary Neville corner of school of thought, whatever you want to say. That
Would you rather be in school with Gary Neville or on a train with him?
Train, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
The manager, club legend. So you're not, you won't call for him to go.
No, never.
But how does he, all right, so I'm playing devil's advocate here then. How do you, after that performance, how is he going to continue to lift players?
You look at the bigger picture, I think, with this, and you say that when he came in, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer inherited a squad, some of which had been built by Van Gaal, some of which had been built by Mourinho. I mean, there's some who were still there when Moyes was there. You've got De Gea, who was there when Sir Alex was there. These players have been there through very different managers. Solskjaer's come in. He's got rid of the players that didn't suit the system that he wanted to play, like big players as well, like Lukaku and Alexis Sanchez. Alexis Sanchez, albeit, yeah, he won Serie A, but he didn't contribute a lot to it. The man hasn't looked correct since leaving Arsenal. He was gone. He cost a lot of money. And instead of persevering with him, he just went, no, we're getting rid. He doesn't suit the style that I have. Lukaku, another massive signing by a previous manager, got rid of him because he didn't suit the style of play that he wanted to play. He's not been scared to make those decisions. He is adamant that he wants United to play a certain way. He wants them to be a counter-attacking foot. Look, I know it's Man United, so we judge differently. But when Bielsa refuses to play football any other way, so will regularly, his sides will get beaten. Not regularly, that's a bit unfair, but his sides could get beaten by a 5-0 result, you know, by a good team on a good day. He gets praised for that, and Farc gets praised, you know, saying that he might get relegated, but he wants to play a certain way. Ollie wants to play a certain way, and sometimes it doesn't work, and it hasn't worked. And this season, what we're now watching is that system has changed somewhat because of Ronaldo being up front. I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has got a system. The players are used to it. There's a little bit of consistency. When it works, it's amazing. Like the second half of the Atalanta game was incredible. The PSG game was like insane. We've had massive results. We, you know, beating Spurs, beating City, beating, you know, no, he's beaten City more times than anyone as a manager. He's done a lot of good, and football fans have a very short memory. and they just thinking, oh, we've not been very, we signed Ronaldo, we should be brilliant. All right, calm, chill out. Like, for fuck's sake. It's not, you're not playing FIFA career mode.
Yeah. Is he, do you think though, and I think he has done a lot of good, and I think he definitely, he came in at a sort of a very difficult time and steadied things and got United back to, I think, more of their old self in terms of attacking football.
Mm.
Do you think though that he will, even if you're not calling for him to be kind of sacked and, you know, make the change, do you think he's could only ever take them so far? Do you think, yeah, like, because you've seen what happened with Chelsea, you've seen like Frank Lampard, you know,
Lampard was not given enough time.
He didn't have very long, but Tuchel came in, and obviously you have to say they moved for Tuchel, and it showed what having, you know, an okay manager to an elite, what I'd say is probably in the elite of managers in world football, and Thomas Tuchel, Tommy Two-Tone Tuchel, as you call him.
Yeah, Tommy Two-Tone.
So it shows you what can be done. Now, do you think then that Solskjaer is not an elite manager? But so he's only ever going to get United so far, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll only get us so far. But do you know what? One of the really good things about watching Sir Alex is United, aside from being really good and winning a lot of things, which was really fun. Like, that was a lot of fun, winning stuff. I love winning stuff, and it was good. But the best thing about United, being a United fan, and Sir Alex were the comebacks. We had a lot of losses as well, like not big results, you know, sort of, you know, big scores. But there are games which we look back on and think, we lost that, but we shouldn't have. And there were games that we look back on as United fans and go, how the hell have we won that? But we'd win it, and we'd win. Like even going back to the first Premier League season, which is going to be far too old for some people who listen to this, but I'm going with it anyway. We needed to beat Sheffield Wednesday. It was a massive game. And we scored two headed goals in like the 92nd and the 95th minute or so. You know, like, Brian Kidd jumped on the pitch.
Yeah.
And those were the ones that were the most fun. Like, I know we won it, but does anyone in their right mind feel like any United fan enjoyed the 99 Champions League final until the end? And none of us enjoyed watching the 2008 Champions League final, where it took John Terry hitting the post. You know, no one enjoyed these games because as a United fan, they're not what you remember. But you remember the results along the way. Like, I remember they're worth it. They're worth it, those moments. And I remember what, you know, like Makeda's goal against Villa. Those sort of moments where you're like, oh my God, we've done it again. How have we done it again? And we've had a lot of them under Solskjaer. And the fact is, I've said it before on this podcast, is that as a Man United fan, the era that I've lived through, if I never, ever watch us lift another trophy, then I've still been spoilt, because we've won so many. It's ludicrous how many we've won. Ryan Giggs has won more Premier League titles than Arsenal have won First Division titles. You know?
Yeah.
He's won more league titles than Arsenal Football Club. That's madness. That's how spoiled we've been. That's perspective. That's all come in one era as well. That's a full club's history worth of league title victories. You know? So if I never see us win another trophy, it doesn't matter, because I've already seen a lot and I'm just grateful for what I've seen. I would rather football be fun. And yeah, all right, every now and again we get beaten. But yeah, we've had the Liverpool result. But just before that, we had the Atalanta result, which was incredible. We were 2-0 down at half time and we went 3-2. They're the moments. It's worth it. No, we're not boring. And that's the thing, is because under certain managers, under Moyes, we got boring. We were just putting endless crosses into the box. Under Van Gaal, in the end, we got boring. We were just one dimensional. You know, Mourinho. Oh. We haven't been boring under Solskjaer. It's been fun.
Yeah.
He deserves to keep his job for that. He needs to be fun. Someone, it's the most fun I've had being a Man United fan since Sir Alex Ferguson. Why is I don't want that to stop, especially not to bring in Antonio Conte, who got so much abuse at Inter Milan that they had to sack him. They had to just be like, you've just won us a league title, but we hate you.
Yeah, well, there you go.
What the hell? I don't want that at my club. I want Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the man who looked at the camera and said, mountains are there to be climbed, is the same Ole Gunnar Solskjaer that smashed in that last minute winner in the 99 Champions League final. And I have genuinely, I don't think I've ever felt so much joy in one moment. I thought I was going to die.
He definitely, it looks like he's getting the support of the board. So I think you're going to get your wish. I think he's, doesn't look like, reports are that he doesn't look like he's going to go after the result. So we'll see what he can do. We'll see if the players can respond. But, as much as we talked about the manager and the setup and the way they played, the players have to pull their weight in the next game. They have to show.
Oh, they need to do a lot. They have to.
City's around the corner as well. City's around the corner.
Don't remind me.
Yeah,
we've got Spurs, we've got City, we've got Atalanta.
Yeah, it's a tough one. We'll see. This is a show. We have to show what they're made of in their money. Let's talk about Liverpool then. I want to talk about Liverpool because last season they lost their way. They had a horrendous run, didn't they? So I think they lost 6 games at home. When they lost to Fulham, there was something like 6 game defeats in a row at Anfield, or something crazy like that in all competitions. Obviously, they didn't have Van Dijk. They did have some other injury problems. They haven't looked... I don't think you could say Van Dijk's come back in and they've looked, like all their defensive issues have been sorted, because I don't think they have. They haven't. They're still conceding goals. They don't look as rock solid as they did in their championship winning season a couple of seasons ago. But they're looking like the free scoring Liverpool from a couple of years ago, seasons ago. And it looks, and I suppose the thing is, like you said, in the Man United game, they do look like they can improve still. Do you think this is going to be one of those where they're going to push it to the wire this year? Do you think that City and Chelsea, who I think people were talking about going into the Man City Chelsea game a couple of weeks ago, would be the top two? Yep. Suddenly Liverpool, I think, are saying, "Hey, we're not going to go anywhere, aren't they?"
I don't personally see Liverpool winning the league. But if they do win the league, I think it'll be one of those league titles that you go, well, this player dragged them to that. Mm. I think if Liverpool have a chance of winning the league, it's because of Mo Salah. Like, you take Mo Salah out of that Liverpool side, and it impacts that side more than you removing a player from any other side. Like, you could take out any member of the Chelsea squad, as they've shown now with Lukaku missing. Take any member of that Chelsea squad out and you think, no, they could still be decent. You take Mo Salah out of that Liverpool side, it's a remarkable drop-off. a remarkable drop-off. He's head and shoulders the best player in world football right now. If he stays on this form, Liverpool can do everything this season. He's insane. But I still think that the league title will be down to City and Chelsea. If I had to put money on it now, I'd go City.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. They've got a good run at the moment as well, and they're in good form.
Yeah, they've got a really good run.
They have. Okay, I want to talk to you about substitutes.
Substitutes.
Not substituting you.
You serving me out? Have I had enough?
I'm not. Don't worry, I'm not serving you out.
193 episodes in. I've never been subbed out before.
So, I wasn't aware of this at the time, but I saw a BBC article this week. But AFC Wimbledon in the summer appointed a substitution coach, Sammy Lander. And there was an interesting interview in this week, and he was talking about the pitch that he made, apparently, actually, this gentleman, he made a pitch to Mark Robinson, who's the Wimbledon boss, analysing what England's players were doing in the Euro 2020 final against Italy. And he actually showed what the substitutes, he put together like a pitch video, basically showing what substitutes were doing, what sort of Sancho and Rashford were doing in their warm-ups and stuff like that, coaches' interaction with them or lack of interaction, you know, how they were kind of stopping, starting their warm-ups and doing a bit of stretches, then going back, sitting down. And basically, I think he's saying that they weren't primed and ready and optimum for when they come on. They had a bit of a disjointed kind of warm-up period, and they weren't kind of, you know, they weren't having that interaction. They were just kind of brought on and, you know, had a very quick conversation with someone, not too much delving into the tactics. So basically, so this guy pitched to Wimbledon that I think I can make a difference with you guys. And they appointed him. Obviously, he had some coaches, got coaching background, but he'd obviously pigeonholed himself into, I can be a substitute coach for you. And so he's been appointed as their substitution coach, and basically saying that, look, these guys, and he uses the word finishers. And that's a word that actually comes from what's his name? The Australian rugby coach, Eddie Howe. No, not Eddie. I can't even remember his name. Hang on, I'm going to have a look at his name now. Eddie...
Van Halen.
Name all your Eddies. I don't know. I can't remember his name.
Ed and Eddie.
Eddie Jones, that's it. Eddie Jones. Eddie Jones uses the word, he says, like, they're not substitutes, they're finishers. And these guys win your game. And I saw that because I started using it when I was on the management team at CSKA. And I used to use that phrase as well. And I used to put the team sheet up, and I used to list the substitutes as finishers. So he thinks that
peek behind the wizard's cloth.
he says that, look, there's a lot of gains that can be had from having a substitution coach. Do you think that that's going to be? It looks like they're the only club that's really doing it and got that official role. Whether they've got unofficial roles in other league teams.
What club was it again?
AFC Wimbledon.
AFC. Oh.
What do you reckon? They're currently 14th in League One, so they're not tearing up trees. But what do you reckon? Do you reckon there's something in that? Do you think coaches are way forwards?
I'd have to see it. I can see the. I can see the appeal of doing that job. However, do you need someone employed just to do that? I mean, you've got, how big's your coaching staff? Surely there's someone on that coaching staff who can just be like, well, you can say to them, right, run it there and make sure they're not dicking around. Like running through drills.
Because we're just talking about Liverpool. They've got a throwing coach, haven't they? But I think
there's coaches for everything nowadays. Do you know what I mean? There's going to be the from everything to, there's probably players who've got, you know, serial coaches whose job is literally they stand in their kitchen, and when the player walks in the kitchen, they're like, right, are you ready? Right, get the bowl. Right, now reach for the spoon. No, don't grab the honey nut cornflakes. Grab the Weetabix, you know. And there's a man just stood there making sure they make good lifestyle choices in the morning. They've got everything. The only thing they haven't got is body hair. That's it. The modern day footballer. I'm not sure. I think I'd have to see. I mean, his name worries me. Lander is a bit too close to launder. You know, what if it's a tax dodge? I've seen a lot of random things. What if they've created a person?
Sounds like that, because you've got, like, surely the job of kind of the tactics and stuff should be either if the head coach, or if there's a manager in place, then, you know, his head coach that works under him in essence. Surely they should be talking tactics. And if it's a tactical thing, then I don't know. I think that is just the role of a coach, isn't it? That you probably, and if it's elsewhere, if it's kind of something else, like it's, you know, making sure they've their heads right or they're doing their warm-ups properly. Again, I don't know. I think there's probably
surely a physio, a fitness coach. You've got fitness coaches. If it's a warm-up thing, then surely a fitness coach should take it. That seems like a job they could do. Like you say, if it's a tactical coaching on the touchline, fine. But one of the coaches could do that. Sure, it just feels like they've created a job that doesn't need, that has already been, you know, they've reinvented the wheel.
Like milk monitor.
Yeah, like it is literally that. It's the equivalent. These are the kids, the people who are now going, oh, I'd make a good substitution coach. They're probably the same ones who got participation medals in the school race. You know, yeah. They're not. Why does someone need to do it? You've got a bench full of staff. Send one of them.
Yeah. Well, you could point to clubs having very specialist roles, like your throwing coach at Liverpool. Yeah. There is an actual that is a coached set piece. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a specialist,
just coach
your
ball.
That is. I could see that because I think that's actually something you focus on and say, right, not everyone in my coaching staff could do that, whereas anyone you would like to think that pretty much anyone in the core of your coaching staff could say, warm up properly, this is what we need you to do tactically because this is what we've been working on in training all week. Whereas if you are actually a specialist at working set pieces from a throw-in, there is something in that. So yes, there is a difference, I think. So I don't know. Yeah, it's one of those where you could have all kinds of different roles because I said to you, I think there's probably people who do that particular role, but they're not called a substitution coach.
They just seems like they've just literally just gone, oh look, it's warm and it's hot. It's an eco-friendly fuel. It'd be like, that's fire. That's all you've created there. What you've done as a substitution, making a role a substitution coach, is like, that's what I just can't work out. What do they do? You know, what is it? Do they do it? I can't say if I agree with it or not because I literally don't know what they do. If he's gone in with, I want to see this pitch. Like if he's listening,
yeah,
no one, yeah, I want to see this pitch because what I want him to pitch it to us because I want to sit here and be like, so right, you're coaching them on how to warm up properly. Yeah, fine. The fitness coach can handle that. We do that every day in training. No, I do it differently. How are you? Do you know what it feels like? It feels like the sort of person who lists their job title as mentor, those dickheads. They shop in, do you know what I mean? Those ones, they shop in Zara and River Island exclusively. They will never set foot in Primark, but they may go to H&M. They drink pumpkin spice lattes with decaf that are decaf and have oat milk in them. They love the colour orange because it reminds them of autumn, which is their favourite time of year.
Yeah, definitely.
These type of people are substitution coaches. They why? Why? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I love to see that pitch. Yeah, fair play. He's obviously he's an analyst and a scout at Bournemouth before, and there's a role for analysts and scouts. But obviously, yeah, he's fancied that is a change. That is a change, isn't it? If you've gone from analyst to scout to actually what is essentially just a part of coaching, it reminds me of a bit like maybe if you got an agency that comes into your organisation and say, "Oh, we can do your marketing, or we can do your." We could do your HR, or we can outsource your HR, or we could do that. Now we can do it all. We've already got a finance team. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Who does your invoicing? Who does your tampons?
Who does your tampons?
This is the look. We've gone over the allotted time already, but
I just don't get it, Mitch. It's been fun. Tell us what you think. What do you think? Do you think that's the future, substitution coaches? Do you think
there's something listening this late in?
Well, you know.
Again, to the ATR late crew, thank you for listening. I have been Luke. Mitch has been Mitch.
Thank you.
demolition of football podcasting. Tweet us on Twitter @TheTechSlashRant. Hashtag ATR Late Crew.
Yeah.
And we'll see you.
Coach, hashtag.
Hashtag. Is watching. Send us your made up job titles. Like those ones. Those the, yeah. Oh, what do you do for a living? I'm a mentor. What do you do for a living? I'm a meditation facilitator. All right, dickhead. All right.
Guru mentor.
Yeah.
Life coach.
Oh, I'm a guru. Are you? Are you really?
Happiness.
Are you really? What? Why are you? Why have you got so much fresh sage? I'm gonna go burn it. Will you?
Okay. I think we've said enough.
Yeah.
Hi, this is the Blender Coach, and you're listening to a Touchline Rant's latest podcast, Back of the Net.
The podcast you just listened to was brought to you by Anchor. Ever wanted to start your own podcast? Now you can by using Anchor. Anchor is great at anchoring and anchoring away at Anchor. So you can anchor all night long if you like. Anchor. Try Anchor.